Good morning, Delaware Valley. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. We are so happy to be with you here this morning on the program. We've got a great show today. Judy Klein will be joining us to talk about the power of entrusting your child to Jesus. We've got some music, and we've got some other stories as we go throughout the hour. Why don't we kick it off, as we always do, with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for starting your day with us. I'm Gary Zimak, and by my side, as always, my faithful sidekick, Mr. Dave Parker. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary, and good morning, listeners. Wow, I'll get my words together. Thank you.
Right. You've got the whole hour to do it, so you can work on that.
Yes.
Well, how are you today, Dave? Did you have a good night last night?
I did. I had a wonderful night. How about you?
Had a great night, relaxing. We actually had a bit of an adventure yesterday afternoon trying to get flu shots. It was an adventure. It ended up, Eileen and I got ours, but Mary and Elizabeth, they still have to get theirs. Something with the medical insurance, you know, it's great when it works, but when it doesn't work, it's a little tricky, but we'll get that all fixed. By the way, Mr. Parker, do you have any plans for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I do, Gare. I do. We're going to go to my son and daughter-in-law's in the area.
Okay, that's nice. Okay. That's nice.
Yes, yeah. How about you, Gare? What's going on with you?
Well, Dave, you know, this is interesting. For the first time, we're actually going out for Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, typically, Eileen and I host to the Thanksgiving. Boy, we've been doing that for a long time. But let's just say this. I think it's time for us to go out this year. Actually, there's a little bit of a story. There's a little bit of a backstory here, Dave. But I don't want to tell it on my own. I think here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to get Eileen on the line during the first break and have her tell the story with me. Does that sound?
I can't wait, Gary.
I just don't want to.
Hold my breath for this?
You know, we've had some adventures over the years. So, yeah, okay. Let's do that. We'll get Eileen on the line during the first break, and she'll join us, and we'll share some of the reasons that led up to us going out to dinner for Thanksgiving this year. So we're really looking forward
to
that.
Will this go down in the annals of, like, Thanksgiving war?
No, you know, it's interesting. This has been building for a long time. I suggested it this year. Everybody seemed on board, so we're going to do that. So that's coming up. By the way, we've got an interesting lineup for you for the rest of the week. Tomorrow in the studio, we'll be joined by Teresa Peterson. She's a local singer-songwriter. She's going to be performing in the studio, so that's going to be really neat. Thursday will be a best-of program for Thanksgiving. And then Friday, I'm doing a special Behind the Music show where I'll play more music than I normally play. I get a lot of calls, a lot of emails about the music that we're playing on the show. So a lot of questions come up. Gary, how do you pick the songs that you do? Why do you do what you do? We're going to spend all of Friday talking about the music, playing a lot more songs. So I hope you tune in for that. And then next week, we'll begin Advent with another singer-songwriter in studio. Marty Rotella will be here. He's a relatively local guy. He's up from the North Jersey area. He'll be in performing with us to kick off the Advent season. So all of those things are coming up. Right now, I want to, and by the way, I want to hear what you think about the show. As always, any comments you may have, you can email me at gary@holyspiritradio.org. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your advice, your input. It's all been positive. It's all been positive, and thanks be to God, we are going to be here for the near future, right, Mr. Parker?
Yep.
You're all healthy and ready to go.
Oh,
right?
Yes, I'm in fine fettle. Have you heard that term?
No, I do not know that term.
I think it's more of an Irish term.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or maybe something like that, Scottish, Irish. Yeah, it means in good health, and praise God.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you are looking good as usual. So
thank you, Gary.
But we're excited about the show, and we're going to be taking it to the streets. We are, in the near future, headed to Lansdale Catholic High School, as well as St. Hubert's High School.
That's exciting, Gary. That is really
exciting. It is, because we are a part of the community, and we really want to get out there and let you see us. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I mean, maybe that's not a good thing if they see us.
Well,
I've been told I have a face for radio, so we'll see about that. But it's really neat to be able to come out and really share the good news in person. We'll be broadcasting the show live. Why are you laughing? That's not that funny, is it?
Because that seems to be a common thing. When I first started here, I think someone said that to me. I think they were kidding. I hope they were kidding. I won't mention any names. Anyways.
But it's a lot of fun to do the show, and we're getting a lot of good feedback. So it's really good that we're going to be able to. Now we can broadcast the show remotely, so that's exciting that we can do that.
Absolutely.
And if you would like us to come to your school, your restaurant, your coffee shop, your business, whatever it is, and broadcast the show live from there, just let me know. Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. We have the equipment, and Fearless Frank will get us set up and make sure that we can broadcast. By the way, Dave, we are Frankless today. Frank is away on business.
Yes, we are. Man,
I really miss him.
I really do, too.
Frank doesn't get enough credit on the air, but Frank Eliason is the guy that literally keeps us on the air.
Yes, he does.
I mean,
yes, he does. And he can do it remotely.
Right. And we know right now you're listening, Frank, so keep an eye on us. Make sure we don't get into any trouble. Yeah. But Frank's a really good guy, and we're so blessed to have him as part of the station.
Are.
Right,
we
Dave?
Are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Now let's take a look at the gospel as we do each day. We turn to the daily mass readings. Today's gospel comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 11. Now, what you're seeing in these various gospels and all of the readings, including the first readings, over the course of this week, this is the last week of the liturgical year, the church year. So what the church in her wisdom is doing right now is basically preparing us, reminding us that this earthly life will come to an end. Now, I'm not trying to be a downer, but it's a realistic message. I think it's a message that we really should pay attention to. This life's going to be over one day. So what's the big deal? Why should I care? Well, we are about to head into Advent. Advent begins on Sunday. Advent's a time for preparation. Advent's a time for looking at our lives and recognizing the fact that we've got some work to do, that we need to clean up internally in order to prepare to welcome Jesus. And in order to have room for Jesus inside of us, what do we have to do? We have to clean up and get rid of some of the garbage. So as a result, the church wants us to know that, okay, it's time to get serious. It's time to get to work. We begin a new church year. We begin the preparation period, not just for Christmas, but the preparation period to welcome Jesus. That's why you'll hear readings like this throughout the rest of the week. It's a reminder that we are to get busy. It's a call to action, if you will. It's not a time to panic. It's a time to realize that, hey, the Lord gave us a new day. He gave us an opportunity to work on this. So let's do it. Now, with that in mind, here's the gospel of Luke 21, verses 5 through 11. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" Jesus answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place. And awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." Now, there's a lot of messages we can take from this gospel. A couple of things stand out to me. The first thing to keep in mind is you will hear people say, "We are in the end times. The world is coming to an end. Look at this. Look at that. It's happening." Here's what Jesus has said here and elsewhere. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. You don't know the day or the hour, not only when the world will end, you don't know when you're going to die. Don't be distracted. Treat each day as if it's your last. If we treat each day as if it's our last, one day we're going to be right and we'll be ready for our judgment. This day, we know we have this day. Praise God, we are here. As I said earlier, He's given us another day. What can I do today to grow closer to the Lord and to help others grow close to Him? Are my actions this day bringing glory to our Heavenly Father? I mean, that's really all I need to worry about. It's not the time to be distracted. It's the time to get focused, to realize that, yeah, it's coming to an end. This life will pass. And if you look around you, that is not going to be obvious. You look around you each day, it is not apparent that the world will one day pass away, that your life will pass away, because you get a lot of distractions. So that's why we're here. We're here to help you to remember that Jesus needs to be the center of your life. What are you doing to grow closer to the Lord today and to bring other people closer to Him? And if you're not sure what to do, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask Him to guide you. Ask Him to inspire your thoughts. Ask Him to inspire your words, your actions, your decisions, your interactions today. And if you do that, you're doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do. And this is kind of like the pre-Advent pep talk, because Advent takes place on Sunday. It's good to realize that, all right, I'm ready to get started. I'm ready to get started and focus less on the things around me. Of course, you still have to live in the world, but you need to keep one eye on heaven and on heavenly things, because if you don't do that, you're never going to get there. So that is really the message today. And please, don't be distracted. If anybody tells you that the world is coming to an end because of this, that, or the other thing, point them to the words of Jesus, who said, "You will not know." Yeah, of course we're in the end times. The end times, according to the church, are defined as any time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. So we're in the end times, but it could be thousands and thousands of years before He comes again. But we all know one thing. We're going to pass from this earth in a relatively short period of time. So let's be ready. If we're ready, there's not going to be any problem, right? It's like studying for a test. Rather than panic, study, and all will be well. So just trust that everything will be okay. Focus on Jesus. Get to know Him a little bit better today. Ask for help, and you will be just fine. Right now, the time is 7:11. I'm Gary Zimak, along with Dave Parker. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. That feels really good when I say that. But it's true. We are pleased to be a part of your community. We want to be out there in the street. As I mentioned, we want to bring our show to your restaurant, your coffee shop, your school, wherever. Let us know. Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org, and we can talk more about that. After the break, I'm going to get my wife Eileen on the phone. We're going to share some of our Thanksgiving adventures. Why is it that we are having Thanksgiving dinner out at a restaurant this year for the first time? We'll talk about that later on in the show. Judy Klein, speaker and author, will join us. She'll share some advice about entrusting your children to God. That's something most of us parents struggle with. It's hard to do. We worry about them. We want to hold on to them. Why should we give up our children and trust them to God? Judy will be with us to share some very good advice. At 7:50, we'll do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. Plus, we'll have the usual music and assorted goodies on the program. Lots more. We'll do the weather. We'll hang out with you. And there will even be some surprises. I say that because Dave and I are always surprised by things that happen in the studio right here. It's a very spontaneous show. We try to keep things uplifting, upbeat, and slightly out of control. That keeps us on our toes. I hope you could stick around for the entire hour. Again, let me know if there's anything I can do for you, Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. Also, when we come back from the break, in addition to sharing some of my personal Thanksgiving stories, food preparation stories, I found a really neat article that I have linked at spiritinthemorning.com, 19 Funny Thanksgiving Helpline Calls You'll Be Glad You Didn't Make. So we'll touch on some of those as well. We try to keep it interesting. We try to keep it fresh on the program. So stick with us. We've got lots more to come. 7:13 right now. 40 degrees is your current temperature. Put on some coffee, warm up, and stick with us. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 22nd. Today we celebrate Saint Cecilia. Never mind that little to nothing is known about today's saint. Cecilia is one of the most famous and most popular saints of the early church. She is also one of the most famous of the Roman martyrs, though there is reason to doubt the details surrounding her death. We do have evidence of a late 4th century church named after her, and we do know that her feast was celebrated by the year 545. According to legend, Cecilia was a young Christian of high rank, engaged to a Roman named Valerian. Through her influence, he was converted and later martyred along with his brother. Cecilia was thought to have met the same fate. Legend has it that after being struck 3 times on the neck with a sword, she lived for 3 days and asked the Pope to convert her home into a church. Since the time of the Renaissance, Cecilia has usually been portrayed in art with a viola or a small organ. The patron saint of musicians, she has become a symbol of the church's conviction that good music is an integral part of the liturgy. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is I will rise. will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God.
And that was I Will Rise by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time is 7:20. Okay, so before the break, I was sharing with you, Dave Parker, the reason. I mentioned the fact that we are, my wife Eileen and I, we're going out this year for Thanksgiving. Yeah. And there is a backstory to it. And to be fair, I didn't want to tell this story by myself. So we called Eileen. Mm-hmm. So Eileen is on the air with us now. Sweetheart, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to talk to you on the air. This is so exciting.
You're telling our secrets.
I know, and it's okay with you, right, dear?
It's fine, dear.
Okay, good.
Don't worry about it.
Mr. Parker, I have to be careful here.
Between the three of us, go ahead.
That's right. Just between, it's just Dave and about 6.5 million listeners in the Philadelphia area. So,
no problem.
Right? No pressure there. All right, sweetie. So, we are going out this year for Thanksgiving. And we're excited.
And I feel guilty about it, but I'll get over it.
Right. Okay. So let's tell a little bit of the reason, the backstory to why we're doing this. And I unfortunately share a lot of the responsibility for this. Okay.
You're very kind to say, but I don't think so. It's all right. Everybody can know my all right. culinary ability or lack thereof.
So all our right. so our first adventure goes back to shortly after we were married. We decided to have your family over, and I think maybe some of my family initially, but we lost them along the way. But
they got smart.
Do you remember when I decided to help? When I said, "Sweetheart, I'd like to help with the turkey," and I didn't realize that in preparing the turkey, there were things inside of the turkey that had to come out before you roasted it.
And we didn't realize it until we were just about to serve it, and we didn't tell anybody.
It was our secret. So there's the turkey necks and the things in the plastic bags. Dave, we cooked the turkey the first year with those items inside, and nobody was any the wiser.
Okay. But now they know. So.
Okay, but now they know. And then, so then the second year, being a man, Dave, you know how we are as men. We like to take control, and we say, all right, I'm going to learn from my mistakes. Mm-hmm. I knew what to look for the second year, so I told Eileen, you know, she did all the hard work. She did all the cooking. Mm-hmm. I just tried to do some of the prep. I went in this time, and I extracted what I thought was all of the whatever it is.
The innards.
The innards from the turkey. Yeah. What I didn't realize, Dave, is that you got to go in both directions. So I pulled out half of it, and I think there was a bag of turkey necks on the other side.
There's another side.
So we did it, and again, sweetie, right? We kind of, our secret was safe. Nobody knew until now.
Until now, yep.
Right?
But we were all, we all lived, so it wasn't yet.
Boy, our standards are really high at the Zimek household. We
very
all lived.
Low standards.
Right.
That's how we roll at our house.
Exactly. Okay, so after that, now we're learning from our mistakes. Do you remember the year, sweetie, when the turkey got done a lot faster than we expected?
Oh, my gosh. It got done like 2 hours earlier than we thought, right? And we had to call everybody. Luckily, everybody lived close by. Instead of coming at like 4, we had to call them at like 2. Hurry up now!
That's right.
Come over now!
So they all rushed over because we were in shock. We couldn't believe that the turkey was ready that quickly, right?
Yes.
And then remember the year when somebody got sick, one of the girls got sick before?
Oh, you know what? They got pneumonia.
Yep.
It wasn't just sick. They got both of them pneumonia, but we didn't realize it until the morning of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So our poor families, honey, we called them the morning of.
We said, okay, guys, you can't.
We got bad news. We have pneumonia here, and you can't come.
Right.
Well, good luck. Happy Thanksgiving.
So find yourselves places to go, right?
Right.
Okay, so that was it. And then remember the time the house filled with smoke because the turkey had too much grease in it? And yeah. See, are you getting a feel, Dave, for why we're going out?
Yeah, that's...
How about the gravy story, honey? Remember, I mean the the
oh, that
stuffing.
Was just like 2 years ago. That was the worst. That was, gosh, the turkey was done, this overdone. The stuffing was too dry, so we just kept adding gravy.
Yeah, I said, let's fix it. Right, it was like enough. It was almost like it was not moist at all. The stuffing was, we tried a new brand of stuffing.
Okay.
And then at the end, we just started pouring gravy to try to doctor it up.
And that same year, I left the vegetables in the microwave.
Yes.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good year.
And you know what's amazing, honey? You know, this
I know what you're going to say.
Right? They kept coming back.
People kept coming.
Except my family. We did lose them along the way. They stopped coming.
Well, somewhere. Not your sister. Your sister, they
oh, that's right. Came. They did come last year, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. They just kept coming. It's our sparkling personalities, honey.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think that's, or maybe they just didn't want to cook, so...
Yeah, so this is the reason, Dave, why we're going... And there's one thing else that I might add to. 1 year... We were having trouble figuring out if the turkey was done, and I actually called the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
I was just going to mention
there is such a thing, right?
And I yes,
but I couldn't get through. It was busy, so I did find, sweetheart.
There's only one operator standing.
Yeah,
by.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So there is a Butterball Turkey Hotline, but somehow we got through it. But honey, you'll get a kick out of this. I found an article on the internet, and I will have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. 19 funny Thanksgiving helpline calls you'll be glad you didn't make.
Oh, boy.
So, Eileen, you need to read this later on to make yourself feel...
Yeah, I should have read it, like, before we decided to go out.
I know, exactly. But just briefly, and I know we only have a couple of minutes, I just wanted to share a couple of these. And this is from the 1-800-BUTTERBALL-TURKEY hotline. A man was calling... A father in charge of thawing the turkey and bathing his toddler twins decided to hit two birds with one stone.
Oh, no.
He put the kids and the turkey in the tub at the same time. And he called the hotline to find out if the bath water would be an acceptable method for thawing the turkey. Okay? Now you're feeling a little bit better, right, hon?
I do.
Now, there's another one where a man discovered a turkey from 1969 in his dad's freezer. He called the hotline to ask about the best way to cook a 30-plus-year-old turkey. Another another woman called the hotline from a closet so her family couldn't hear her. She said, "Can you hear me? I've never cooked a turkey, and my mother-in-law is convinced I can't cook. And I can't cook, but I want to do it." So she called the hotline. Oh, man. And, hon, the final one is, and there are 19 of these, so I encourage everyone to check this out on spiritinthemorning.com. When a talk line staffer asked the caller what state her turkey was in. Can you see this one coming? Now, of course, she was meaning how thought it was. The caller responded with Florida. So, hey, hon, thanks for coming on with me and sharing the backstory about why we're going out for Thanksgiving.
Well, I appreciate you're welcome. It was fun.
Hey, honey, I love you. I will see you soon. Thanks again for doing this with me.
Thanks, honey. Love you.
Love you. And we will be back on Spirit in the Morning. Stay tuned. Judy Klein is coming right up.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Chattanooga, Tennessee police say the driver of a school bus that crashed, killing at least five children, has been charged with five counts of vehicular homicide, reckless driving, and reckless endangerment. Police Chief Fred Fletcher calls yesterday's crash every public safety professional's worst nightmare. The bus driver is identified as 24-year-old Jonathan Walker. Pope Francis is allowing all priests to absolve the faithful of the grave sin of abortion, extending indefinitely the special permission he had granted for the duration of the just-ended Holy Year of Mercy. The Holy Father wrote in an apostolic letter made public yesterday that, quote, "I wish to restate as firmly as I can that abortion is a grave sin since it puts to an end an innocent life." But he went on to say, quote, "There is no sin that God's mercy cannot reach and wipe away when it finds a repentant heart seeking to be reconciled with God," end quote. The Holy Father also extended beyond the Year of Mercy the faculties of priests in the Traditionalist Society of St. Pius X to validly forgive sins in the confessional. And after a brief pause, Iraqi troops are on the move again to liberate neighborhoods in the eastern part of Iraq's second largest city from Islamic State militants. A top commander says resistance from ISIS forces is stiff and the militants are using rockets and mortars. Mosul was captured by ISIS in the summer of 2014. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When he was researching his book, The Gospel of Happiness, Dr. Christopher Kaiser learned that the happiness quotient is higher among people who practice religious faith, not just have religious faith. In other words, those who attend religious services every week are more likely to be happier. Part of the reason is that they are more inclined to practice gratitude. Dr. Kaiser told me, the very last words of the Mass are, "Thanks be to God." Every Mass is a chance to offer thanksgiving. And Dr. Kaiser's research taught him that the fewest number of people commit suicide on Thanksgiving Day. The reason? It's the day when people turn their minds and hearts to what they're grateful for instead of focusing on what they don't have. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
He sees you down by the waterline. Knows what you're thinking all the time. He sees the rising of the waves. When the tide starts rolling in, he lets you know it's gonna be okay. He sees you dancing in the moonlight. His arms around you hold you tight. And if those clouds should start to break,
sees you down by the waterline.
And that was God Is Watching Over You by Phil Joel. I love that song. It's a really important message. You know, that's something we all need to remember. God is watching over us, and He is watching over our children. That's a big problem. When I go out and I speak about overcoming anxiety, one of the biggest sources of anxiety is I am worried about my children. That's why I thought it was really important to bring our guest for today onto the show. I had the opportunity recently, and I've met Judy before, but I had the opportunity to do a radiothon in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I do some work with Catholic Community Radio down there, and I was on the air with Judy, and I said, wow, she would make a great guest. She was had a great personality, was very articulate, really expressed her some great ideas about the faith. So I said, let's get Judy Klein on the show. Judy wrote a book called Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God. This is a phenomenal book. We're going to talk about now the power of entrusting our children to God with our guest, Judy Klein. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Oh, it's so great to hear your voice and to get you on the program. Judy, this is a great book. Thank you for writing it. As a parent, I really have to thank you for writing this book.
Well, you know it was written in blood, sweat, and tears, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to talk about that because there are some deeply personal details in this book. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to really be so transparent and go ahead and reveal some deeply personal details of your family and your struggles in the book?
Well, I think the book surprises people. Somebody said the other day, the title sounded rather nebulous, The Power,
yeah.
Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God. And then you get into the book, and it's really a very honest, transparent story of the suffering we encountered as a family and the suffering I encountered as a mother. And I think it shocks people a little bit, but
right.
the bottom line was I had an experience of being very frustrated reading books as a mother, trying to find resources that would help me in very serious difficulties. And so many of the resources I came across just I couldn't resonate with the stories. Like
right.
one book said that the biggest struggle this woman had was her daughter moved a block away and she missed her so much. You know, I'm dealing with drug addiction and 19-year-old daughters coming home pregnant and, you know, a husband who dies of a massive heart attack. And so I decided to tell our story because I think a lot of people are really suffering today.
Right.
You know, if you really do go around and talk to people, which I know you do, Gary,
yeah.
you hear endless stories when people let their guard down of just how hard it is today and how much they're suffering. So I wanted to give them an opportunity to find just not only hope in our story,
mm-hmm.
but actual prayers they can pray. Every chapter concludes with prayers that, and I think the prayers are very powerful, that a parent can pray for their child to entrust them and surrender them to God.
Yes, and you do a good job because I was looking at some of the prayers. They are powerful. And we are going to have your website linked and information about the book on our site, spiritinthemorning.com. I wanted to ask you, Judy, that what you said is true. People are suffering. People are oftentimes really worried and concerned about their children. And I hear this firsthand. And as a parent, I get it. I mean, I feel mm-hmm. my wife and I deal with the same problems. Why is it that you think it's so difficult for us as parents to turn our children over to God and to maybe step back and realize that God's in charge to give them to give our children to Him instead of just holding on and worrying about them? Why do you think it's so tough?
Well, I always say it's counterintuitive what mm-hmm. happens as a parent because you start off with this infant who you are totally responsible for, who's 100% dependent on you. And the trajectory of life is that we've got to start letting go bit by bit of
right.
our children, which is counterintuitive to what we learn with infants, you know.
Mm, that's true.
But it's interesting because as our children get older, the paradox is that the more we hold on to them, the more strongly we keep our hands on them, the less they learn to walk on their own,
oh,
and the less
yeah.
they learn to think on their own, the less they learn to live on their own. So this whole concept in our culture of quote-unquote helicopter parenting, mm-hmm. where parents do everything for the children and they micromanage their children's lives, it is really harmful to our children because it doesn't teach them to take responsibility for their own lives. And so ultimately, our prayer for our children is the same way. It's like we think we can micromanage our children's lives by praying to God a certain way and micromanage God, in fact, as well. But God is God and we're not, as it's
yeah.
told Job.
Yeah.
And so we have to learn, ultimately, the only power we have as human creatures is truly surrender. And Jesus demonstrates this, as well as Our Lady. it's not my will, but it's thy will be done, Lord. And it's not, you know, that anybody gets a pass on suffering. Jesus didn't, neither did Our Lady.
And, you know, it is very tough. And as you talk about this, it's hard for me as a father to let my children go because my wife and I, we're used to really protecting them and we want to be in control. And sometimes we're afraid that if we let them go, that we forget that God loves them more than we do. And I think that's the important thing to remember. You mentioned you touched on suffering. That is a key fear for many people. I don't want my children to suffer. I'm afraid to let them go. In your book, you touch on this idea of the prosperity gospel and how it can be very misleading. Could you maybe talk a little bit about that, Judy?
Well, I think we've really bought into the idea that if I do X and Y, I'm going to get Z result from God.
Yeah.
That's a short way of saying, you know, again, I can micromanage God to get specific results that I want, whether it's financial prosperity or just blessing in my life or, you know, a pass from suffering. And I was an evangelical Christian for 5 years, and a lot of the message I received in that church, the specific church I was in, was that if you do all these things right, you're going to get only blessing in your life. And I encountered tremendous suffering, and so it ultimately turned into, well, what am I doing wrong? And so one of the things I love about the Catholic faith is that we really have a theology of suffering, and not only a theology of suffering, but we have models of suffering, not only in Jesus, who dies a brutal, violent death upon the cross to overcome sin and death, but Our Lady, who was sinless, who had a sinless child, and yet she suffered intensely in this world.
Right.
And so how do we reconcile ourselves with what I call the prosperity gospel, is that we should get a pass on suffering if we're doing everything right? Well, it, really and truly, Jesus' life and Our Lady's life show us that's just a lie. That's not true. So we have to find a deeper meaning in suffering. And the deeper meaning is that it teaches us to surrender to God. It teaches us to trust God. It teaches us to see our lives from a transcendent perspective, which is not from our limited human understanding, but from God's large understanding, his eternal understanding of how he's working all things together for good in our lives.
Right.
That's the hard thing to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hard when we look at our children and we have to accept the fact that maybe the suffering is necessary in their lives because it'll help them somehow. And that's, it's hard as a parent, though. I can deal with it for my own, in my own life, but when it comes to my kids, it's difficult. And as you use that word counterintuitive, with me and my wife, it's definitely counterintuitive. But it is the way that they'll grow closer to the Lord, and we ultimately want them to get to heaven. And we all know that the road to heaven goes through the cross. I mean, there's
Amen.
No, right?
They say you're only as miserable as your most miserable child, and I've been plenty doggone miserable.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's talk about that, Judy. You've definitely had your share of crises with your children. What do you think the most important thing parents can do for their children in terms of when they're in a crisis? What's the most important thing we can do?
Well, obviously, prayer is critical,
right.
And Scripture tells us that, you know, the fervent, effectual power for prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So our prayers are powerful with God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying don't pray. I absolutely am encouraging parents to pray. But I think in a crisis, our children will turn to the tools and of what we've given them and what we've modeled to them. So the most important thing we can do, really, to prepare for a crisis is to live a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, where every day our faith is part of our life. Every day we're showing our children what it looks like to be in an intimate friendship with God. Every day they're seeing us come to God, talk about God, having this be part of our lives, not just a Sunday visit where we just go make our perfunctory visit to church so we feel better about ourselves, but a living relationship with God. And then when we get in a crisis, you know, hopefully the things we've learned in daily life will come to bear upon that crisis and will naturally help us get through it. But I can't say enough about the power of prayer, the power of the rosary, the power
yes.
of the Mass, the power of the Eucharist. I know these are your basic themes that you mm-hmm. also talk about.
Mm-hmm.
People want to know what's the magic for getting through life. And I say that actually it's just the time-honored practices of our faith.
Yeah.
The Scriptures, the Eucharist, a relationship with Christ, the rosary.
Yeah.
A purposeful prayer life that's actually habitual and consistent. And it's so it becomes a friendship with God.
Exactly.
And so in a crisis, we know him intimately, and all of a sudden it's not like, oh, no, who's God? Where is he?
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to wait. You don't want to wait until the crisis arises before you get to know them. You want to get to know them now, right? And then you're ready. And I'm so glad you brought up the point that we will not be immune to suffering. Jesus wasn't. Certainly, Mary wasn't. Many of the saints weren't. But we can experience peace in the midst of that suffering, as I'm sure you've discovered.
Yes, my husband, my late husband, had a massive heart attack. Actually, the day I was trying to help my daughter get a baby delivered, she was 19, and I was her birthing coach. So we were dealing with two very, you know, important critical events in our life, getting a baby born and having a husband who had a massive heart attack. He wound up living 87 days in the ICU,
wow.
And I actually wrote a book about that as well called Miracle Man. And it was the most profound experience I've ever had of the presence of God and the peace of God, in a sense, showing up for us in a horrible crisis.
Wow.
So
yeah.
This is where we learn to depend on God. In a crisis, it's not us that carries us through the crisis. It's the grace of God that
exactly.
lifts us up and carries us. It's the prayers of other people when we can't pray for ourselves.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes, again, it's surprising, and this is the only way we learn it, that when a serious crisis happens in our life, we find out, wow,
exactly.
God shows up.
Exactly. Judy, I'm sorry, I'm up against a break now. Where's the best place we can keep in touch with you?
Come to my website, memorariministries.com, just like the prayer, the memorari.
Awesome.
Memorariministries.com.
Awesome. We will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Judy, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
Thanks, Gary. God bless you.
All right. Thanks so much. Judy Klein, we will be right back with your Be Not Afraid Bible verse.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Inside my mind, I try to keep you safely in between the lines. I try to put you in the box that I've designed. I try to pull you down so we are eye to eye. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I try to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been you
King of the World by Natalie Grant.
The king of the world.
She's not done yet. I jumped the gun a little bit. I'm Gary Zimmer. I'm so excited to get back. Natalie Grant, King of the World. I like that message in that song. Sometimes we forget that God is the King of the World. Don't forget that. You know, over this past Sunday, we celebrated the solemnity of Christ the King. He really is in charge. He's on the throne. He's above everyone. You know, so don't forget that. When you go through problems in your life, remember that he is the King of the World. Today's weather, 40 degrees at the moment at the Philadelphia International Airport. Today, it's going to be cloudy through mid-morning, then gradual clearing with a high near 48. Tonight, mostly cloudy, mostly clear with a low of near 30. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 48 degrees once again. And it's going to be some chilly but seasonable weather coming up in the near future. I'm Gary Zimek along with Dave Parker. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. We're about to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Let me see if I could find it here. Ah, yes. This is from, and I think this ties in nicely to what Judy Klein and I were talking about. And by the way, she was a great guest. We're going to have her back on the show. And please, check out spiritinthemorning.com for a link to Judy's website, memorareministries.com. She does some really good work. Maybe you want to bring her into your parish to speak, pick up her books, check her out, spiritinthemorning.com. We have her information linked. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse comes from Psalm 13:2. How long, Lord, will you utterly forget me? Boy, you know, when you read the book of Psalms, you see time and time again these emotions coming out. The psalmist is saying repeatedly, hey, Lord, where are you? Where did you go, Lord? I'm suffering. I'm struggling. Can you help me? There are, if you get used to reading the book of Psalms, and I recommend you do because there's so many good, powerful prayers contained in that book, you'll see a complete range of emotions from praise, from thanksgiving, to utter despair. Lord, how long are you going to forget about me? I need your help. You know what? That's a good prayer. Don't be afraid to pray that prayer. Sometimes we're afraid to insult the Lord. He wants us to turn to him. He wants us to say, Lord, where are you? I need you. I need your help. We are not doubting him when we pray that prayer. When you pray that prayer, you obviously believe that he can help you because otherwise you wouldn't pray it. So if you're struggling today, if you're dealing with a family situation, if you're dealing with a financial crisis, if you're worried about the future, if you have a health problem, ask the Lord to help you. As Judy said, you get that relationship with the Lord going and you're going to feel a lot better. You will feel peace. It might be fleeting. You might not always feel peaceful, but you will be at peace. And there's a difference. You cannot always feel peaceful, but yet still be at peace. That comes with accepting God's will. Even though you might not like what you're going through, you will be able eventually to accept the fact that he is the king of the world, that he really is in charge, and that he knows what he's doing. But again, that comes with time. That comes as the relationship grows. So if it's been a long time and you really haven't talked to the Lord, make sure you talk to him today. Thank him for the blessing of giving you a new day. And ask him to give you the grace you need to make it through the day. Focus on today. Don't worry about getting through the week or tomorrow or the next day. Worry about getting through today. I think that's the biggest mistake that we make sometimes, that we're living too far in the future. God will give us the grace to deal with today. But tomorrow, that's the future. That essentially is a day that's not granted, and that's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that we will have tomorrow, but you are here today, and the Lord will give you what you need today. Just make sure you ask him. So again, that Bible verse, how long, Lord, will you utterly forget me? We've all been there. You might be there right now. Ask him. Ask him and tell him you're hurt. Tell him you feel as if he's forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you, but I know that it feels like it sometimes. Again, that's Psalm 13:2, and you can find more info. You can find that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. I want to just share a couple more of these thoughts as we bring the program to a close, Mr. Parker. Mm-hmm. Some more of these 19 funny Thanksgiving helpline calls you'll be glad you didn't make. Now, these come from the Butterball Turkey Talk Line, which, by the way, is 1-800-BUTTERBALL, appropriately enough. Dave, check this one out. And we do have these old 19 of these linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Mm-hmm. Another gentleman called to tell the operator, he, He cut his turkey in half with a chainsaw. Wait, that, and he, this is a man making this call,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He cut his turkey in half with a chainsaw and wanted to know if the oil from the chain would adversely affect the turkey.
How much of the turkey was left?
I don't know. But see, this is sometimes we, as men, we're our own worst enemies because we come up with these ideas, right? We're, oh, man.
That's a good one.
There's a woman in her 70s called cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the first time, called for help because her mother said she was tired of cooking the turkey. And it was time her daughter learned how to prepare the Thanksgiving meal. So she called. I'm not really sure what she was asking, but she was calling for that. There's another one, a proud gentleman. Here's another man calling, saying that he called to tell the staff how he wrapped his turkey in a towel and stomped on it several times, breaking the bones so it would fit in his pan. So I don't know if he was asking for help. He was just telling the staff that he did this. So.
Yeah. That's a tenderizing moment, right?
Exactly, exactly. Well, so this was fun talking turkey, right, Mr. Parker?
Talking turkey. Yes,
that's right.
A few days before the big day.
That's right. So if you want inspiration, if you want to feel a little bit better about your Thanksgiving Day disasters, and I'm sure you have your story. By the way, if you want to share a story with me, send me an email at gary@holyspiritradio.org. If you've got the Turkey Day disaster that you want to share, let me know. Gary@holyspiritradio.org, and I would be happy to know I shared my stories. My thanks to Eileen for coming on the show and being willing to expose our dirty laundry, if you will. Would that be appropriate, or would it be dirty turkey?
Dirty turkey, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, really?
That doesn't sound very good.
No.
I think it's time for prayer, Dave. What do you think?
Yes.
Let's close with our prayer for the day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, true light of the world, you guide all mankind to salvation. Give us the courage, strength, and grace to build a world of justice and peace, ready for the kingdom coming of that kingdom, where you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, it was fun being with you today. Thank you for inviting us into your home, for letting us share this Tuesday with you. Tomorrow on the program, you don't want to miss this. We will be joined in studio by Teresa Peterson. She's a local singer, songwriter. We'll be playing some of her music. Teresa will be performing live in the studio as well. I've been wanting to do more of this, so if you know somebody, if you know a local musician who maybe would like to come into the studio and perform some music for us live, let me know, gary@holyspiritradio.org. We'd like to get more musicians in the studio. We're going to have Marty Rotella coming in on Monday to play for us. I love music. I love playing recorded music, but I also love live music. So if you know somebody that might be interested, maybe you have somebody in your music ministry at your church who's really talented and would like to wake up early, we'll even give you donuts. Coffee and donuts, it goes along with coming into the studio. So let me know, gary@holyspiritradio.org. And remember, Thursday will be a best of program so that we can spend Thanksgiving with our families. Friday will be a behind the music show where I'm going to play about 10 songs, more songs than I typically play. You'll hear some of the songs that we have played since we've been on the air. I'll give you a little bit of the reasoning that went into selecting these songs. I pick all the music for the show. I love music, and I believe that oftentimes music can help us to grow closer to our Lord. And thank you for your comments. Thank you for listening. Please keep us in your prayers, and be assured that we will be praying for you as well. Have a blessed day. Remember to ask the Lord for help to get through the day, and He'll be there for you. God bless you. Talk to you next time.